Hi, I'm Tim Barron, and welcome to the Legal Marketing 2.0 podcast, where we offer insights and fresh perspectives on the latest legal marketing trends and strategies. The podcast is a production of Good to Be Social. This is a special episode. It's number 50, and it marks a year since we started this podcast, and what a journey it's been. Guy Alvarez and I go down memory lane and highlight some of our top episodes and guests. Thank you so much for joining us on this journey and making it successful beyond our wildest imagination. Without further ado, here is my conversation with my podcast partner and my friend, Guy Alvarez, someone whose passion and knowledge around marketing in the legal space never ceases to amaze me. This is episode number 50. It's been a year since we started this Legal Marketing 2.0 podcast. And what a year it's been.
It's been an amazing year, and I can't believe this is episode number 50. I remember when we first started doing this, we weren't sure what we were doing. Yeah. We didn't know if we were going to get an audience.
Yeah.
And now it seems like everywhere I go, people tell us everywhere that they listen to the show and how much they like it and how much they enjoy it. So it's been quite a year.
Yeah, we've had more law firms just asking us, how do you do this? And like, could we get on board? And it's really quite a medium, and it's exploded in popularity.
And also, we've had law firms come to us to help them produce their own podcasts now. And we have a few clients who were helping them with their podcast production. We're helping the LMA Southeast chapter with their podcast. So this has really grown, and it's really exciting and hard to believe that here we are in episode 50. But we're excited. And I think this coming year, we have a bunch of new ideas and guests lined up, and it should continue to be fantastic.
Yeah, to celebrate, we wanted to go over some of our popular episodes from the past year, about 10 or 12 or so. We'll see how time goes. We don't want to stay on this too long, Guy, because we know just from trial and error over the course of the last year what works really well in terms of length and in terms of content. So, Guy, let's dig right in.
Yeah, before we do that, just, I think when we discussed this episode, I think one of the difficult things, and I know you and I have talked about this in the past, is when you learn about a new podcast, you're always not sure which episode to start with, right?
Yeah,
if you learn a new podcast, so you start from the beginning. Are there some that are more interesting than others? So in getting ready for this episode, Tim did a great job, and we went through all of the past 49 episodes and sort of picked the ones that we think are the best and also the most popular ones.
And the most popular, yeah. So it's a combination of podcasts that were more that are downloaded frequently and podcasts that we think resonated the most. So let's start with attorney bios.
Yeah, this was a great podcast with Mary Trice from Winston & Strawn. And one of the things that I thought was really unique is, how Winston & Strawn and Mary really went into and really focused on optimizing their attorney bios for SEO. One of the things that she talked about that really was a highlight for me is how they actually went at each bio, took the time to review each of them, asked their clients what they looked for in a bio, and really worked with each of their attorneys first to get the content of the bio the way they wanted it. And then they took into account the SEO best practices and went bio by bio and optimized each bio. And so, I think for any law firm marketer out there or attorney that is trying to get higher search rankings, optimizing your bio is a really, really important thing. And I think the way that Winston and Strawn and Mary approach this is very unique, and it's certainly a best practice for people to know about.
Absolutely. And as an agency that with a legal writers bureau that we do attorney bios on a regular basis, to hear Mary talk and go deep and reflect some of the things that we've done and some of the concerns that we've seen over the years, it was really quite fascinating. All right, so I know, Guy, one of your favorite
was your conversation with Heidi Gardner. I remember when that came up, you're like, "Yep, yeah, I've already read her her material." So that conversation was really cool.
Yeah, I mean, I had known about Heidi for a while now, and I had read her material. I had actually written a blog post about her book and the benefits of smart collaboration for law firms. And, you know, having the opportunity to interview Heidi and learn a little bit about the work that she does and, you know, why it is so difficult for attorneys to collaborate and some of the challenges, but also some of the fabulous benefits that law firms can get if attorneys collaborate with one another, right? Yep. I think one of the highlights for me was the fact that she, you know, in her research, she showed that there was a direct link between collaboration and business development, and that the more lawyers collaborated with one another, that was a higher benefit to their clients, and their clients really appreciated it. So that's typically not something that you hear a lot of firms talking about, right? Collaboration when it comes to marketing, but in from a business development perspective, I think it's really important to think about collaboration and sort of embrace a smart collaboration mentality and culture at your firm.
I mean, in today's world, with law firms and marketing teams spread all over the world, it's super important to have some of these processes in place. So, you know what we should do also, Guy, is the first episode was episode 39 that we talked about. So I'm going to identify the number of the episodes in case you want to go back, whoever's listening to this and want to take a listen to the full episode. And if you do want to listen to each of these episodes, they're just at goodtobesocial.com/podcast. That's our podcast page, and all of the podcasts are listed there.
The first one was 39, and then the Heidi Gardner one was 31.
Correct, yeah, 39, 31.
Okay.
All right, next we're going to go to another favorite. I think of both of ours. I remember listening to this one with Jeff Berardi, the CMO at KNL Gates, and so impressed with his forward thinking and how he implements so many of these innovative techniques and strategies for a big law firm, which is very difficult to do sometimes.
Yeah, so this was episode 26.
Yep.
And, you know, the idea behind this episode was we had just finished publishing the 2017 Social Law Firm Index, and Jeff's firm, K&L Gates, ranked number one in the thought leadership category. So I wanted to find out from him, you know, what it is that they did at his firm to really be so outstanding when it comes to thought leadership. And, you know, one of the things that really amazes me, and I still talk about this whenever I'm talking to clients or other marketers, you know, the fact that Jeff and his team actually go out and talk to clients, meet with clients, ask them their concerns, their issues, what are the things that are top of mind for them, and then build a content strategy out of this information, to me is incredibly unique and something that really all firms should be doing. Because, you know, as we create content for our clients or for our targets, we really want to create content that we know they're going to be interested in. And what a better way to do that is by asking them,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
What is important to you? What is critical? What keeps you up at night? So I thought this was a phenomenal approach. And like I said, I think this is something that all law firms should be doing.
But, you know, I think a lot of law firms talk about that. A lot of marketers talk about that. But to see someone actually create processes and technology, really, around that at the law firm was just truly inspiring. All right, so that was episode 26.
Yep.
And we'll skip a few to episode 40, which was a thought leadership episode with Jennifer Schaller from the National Law Review.
Yeah, so this one was another really good one. I met Jen at the LMA Tech West conference, where her and I and Mary actually spoke about SEO. And I was really fascinated by the way that the National Law Review, how they approach thought leadership content and how they approach the whole idea of thought leadership. National Law Review is not a law firm, But I think a lot of the ways that they think about thought leadership and how to develop thought leadership content are really great tips that any organization, company, or law firm could use. And specifically, the strategy behind content, which is something that I know a lot of companies and firms struggle with, the way they do that, the National Law Review does it, is really phenomenal.
Yeah, they practice what they preach. I've checked out their site, and every now and then we work with them on some content. All right, episode number 47. This is a recent episode that you did with John Simpson of One North. That was very insightful. He knows his stuff, man.
Well, that is why he is what he is. But yeah, I thought John really, really provided some great insights into how to create client loyalty, how to understand the voice of the customer, and how does data actually inform a company's or law firm's marketing and business development process. You know, I thought that his focus on the whole client experience, which the guys at One North, that is something that, you know, they're very focused on, is the whole user experience and client experience. But they've developed the methodology around this, which is, you know, I think a big part of the reason why One North has been so successful and has such a large share of the big law market. And now they're branching into other professional services organizations. So I thought there was a lot of great stuff out of that podcast, and would highly recommend our listeners to, if you haven't already listened to it, it's a really good one to listen to.
So my favorite takeaway from there is the focus on client loyalty. We spend so much time trying to get clients, and when we have them, we don't pay enough attention to them.
Yeah, and I think, you know, what you said is so important, right? We all know that getting repeat business from existing clients is a lot easier than getting business from a new client, because you've already built that trust and they already know you. So if you give them a good experience, not only can you get repeat business from them, but also they're going to refer you to other people and other potential clients. So the companies and firms that are very transactional focused are missing on a whole opportunity of really developing those client relationships. And that is done through experience.
Yeah,
through
absolutely. Experience. Yep. Build some evangelizers out there. All right. So episode number 43 is one of our friends, Judy Selby. We've done a webinar with her, and we've done some work with her, and she talked about LinkedIn business development.
So I've known Judy for a long time now. She was one of our first clients at Good to Be Social when she was a partner at Baker Hostetler. And when I first met Judy, I was so impressed. I mean, here she was. She was the head of one of the practice areas or practice groups at Baker Hostetler. She was writing and like crazy in LinkedIn, publishing content everywhere. She was being asked to speak at all these legal conferences. And, you know, as we've moved on and you know, as Judy moved on from Baker and she went over to do the consulting work that she does now, you know, all of the things that she did and was able to do in her career really could be linked back to the way that she uses social media and specifically LinkedIn to raise awareness of herself, to develop that thought leadership position. And it has been phenomenal. So, you know, if you are a partner at a firm or a rising associate, I highly recommend you listen to this episode. She really goes through all of the different things that she did to use LinkedIn to get that thought leadership position. And if you're a marketing professional and are looking for ways to help your lawyers to, you know, get more involved in LinkedIn, I would turn them on to this podcast, this particular episode, because I think it's a really good one and someone that has a lot of experience and a lot of success, how she's been able to use LinkedIn to really reinvent herself. And it's really, really impressive.
Yeah, that's episode 43. I mean, I've been privileged to be on the sidelines and to watch Judy put into practice. I've seen very few who have done it so passionately and so completely as she has done. So she's definitely inspiration. And I'm sure if you check on the podcast show notes for that episode, There's Judy's contact information. I'm sure she'd be happy to chat with you. Now, this is an episode I was really looking forward to, Guy. The next one is episode number 44. And that's because I've been following Tim Corcoran for a while. Tim has such wide experience in legal. And he also, you know, I'm a bit of a process geek sometimes. And he goes deep on process, you know, and he even teaches that. So this was a pleasure for me to listen to because I know you interviewed Tim.
Yeah, I mean, this is a recent podcast. We did the episode with Tim and...
That's Tim Corcoran. Did I say Corcoran?
Tim Corcoran. He really is someone that understands the business side of law. And he understands the impact that marketing can have at a law firm. But one of the key takeaways that I, you know, continue to think about, and I recently had lunch with Tim after this podcast, and we're talking about doing some stuff together. But one of the things he said really blew my mind, and it's something that I wish more law firms could get their arms around, and that is, you know, not every lawyer needs or deserves to be marketed, right? You can't, especially if you're at a big law firm, you know, most big law firms have marketing teams of, you know, 20, 30, 50 marketers, and you have over 2,000 lawyers. So they can't possibly do a good enough job at marketing every single lawyer. And what Tim said is you really have to figure out, you know, which are the practices or which are the industries or sectors that are going to give you the highest return on investment, and really focus on those initiatives rather than take a wide firm-wide approach to marketing. And, you know, it's something that I think obviously easier said than done, but it's something that more law firms should really focus on, because you can't market everyone. You can't market every practice area. So the important thing is to determine which are those initiatives on a yearly basis that you're going to market that you think are going to produce the highest return on investment.
Yeah, so our next episode is where we went inward, right? So we do those episodes every now and then where we take a topic that we get a lot of questions around, and then we would go a little bit deep on that. And in the next year, we're going to do a little bit more of that because we've gotten some feedback where folks are like, look, we love your guests and they're amazing, but we also want to hear from you. So we're going to do a little bit more of that because one of the things we want to do with this podcast is to listen to feedback and to hear your concerns and your suggestions and then act on them. So this one, Guy, I know is near and dear to your heart, which is about content, delivering the right content in a buyer's journey.
Yeah, so this one's episode 41. And, you know, here it's something that we, you know, we preach at Good to Be Social, and all of our clients, we get them to understand and buy into the idea that it's all about context, content in context. And so if you really want to enhance or increase your traffic and your visibility, and then convert that traffic into qualified leads, and then convert those leads into clients, or even if you're just trying to get more business out of your existing clients, it's really important to understand who they are, what they care about, what their concerns and interests are, but also where are they along the buyer's journey for legal services, right? You don't want to provide content that is out of context or content that is not readily consumable at the right stage of the journey. If you have someone who's just becoming aware of a particular issue, legal issue, you don't want to hit him over the head and say, hire us, we have the best lawyers. You want to give him more information about the issue and have that individual consider whether or not they even need a lawyer and learn more about that. And then you want to slowly introduce your attorneys and your firm and why you've done this before and why you might be the best firm to deal with that issue. So it's really important to understand the content and context mentality, especially as marketers. We tend to just, you know, throw everything out there that we can without really thinking about how it might be received and whether or not we're pushing too hard or not really thinking about what stage that particular prospect or client might be in. yeah, I think this one's a really important one, and certainly one that legal marketers should listen to.
I know one of the services that came out of this year, a relatively new service for us, is marketing automation. And, you know, we're a HubSpot agency partner. And could you talk a little bit about that and how marketing automation plays into this whole content journey?
Well, what marketing automation does is it enables you to do two things, really. It enables you to segment your audience so that you know at which stage of the journey they are. And that's based upon their activity, right? So depending on what they're doing on your website, what content they're consuming, have they registered to receive information or a webinar, that helps you to segment your audience into where they are in their particular buyer's journey. And then the second thing that marketing automation lets you do is, once you figure that out, it enables you to create workflows or sequences so that you can deliver content throughout time that helps guide someone through that journey, right? From awareness to consideration to engagement. And so marketing automation enables you to do those things so that you can focus as a marketer more on the strategic side and thinking about what is the right content and what kind of offers you can create and you can build. And I should also add, you know, along the same lines, is we're getting ready to do a webinar next week on campaign-driven marketing, which I'm really excited about. So we're going to do it with the head of campaign marketing at Deloitte, and she's going to talk about, they manage over 120 different campaigns a year.
Amazing.
And so she'll talk about that process. But again, that has a lot to do with the right content to the right people at the right time.
Yeah. Yeah. So one of our earlier episodes, episode 10, has to do with CRM. Right? We did it with Chris Fridge.
Yeah, and that was a great early episode. And, you know, talking about marketing automation and segmenting your audience, you know, one of the things I learned from Chris from this episode is you can do all kinds of fancy, great things, but if your data ain't clean,
yep,
it ain't going to work.
Trust me, I know that only too well.
Yep. So, you know, that was one of the key highlights from our conversation with Chris, yeah, is, you know, you need to make sure that your data is clean. You have to build processes to make sure that that data is clean and remains clean. And then really how you can use CRM technology with marketing automation and with competitive intelligence to really differentiate your firm and your lawyers from the competition. So I thought this was one of the most interesting episodes we had. And you know, the way that Chris talked about all the different things you have to consider when it comes to CRM was really educational for me.
So we only have a couple more episodes that we want to feature on our anniversary. And this is another earlier episode, and it's one that we did ourselves, and we simply cannot do a roundup of episodes without something around paid social, because we're seeing more and more of that today.
Yeah, I mean, we did this episode back in September of last year, and it's crazy, since we did this episode, the amount of paid social and specifically paid LinkedIn campaigns we've been doing ourselves and for our clients. You know, with organic social media becoming more challenging, with the rules around social changing, with the prospect of government regulation, paid social really has become an increasingly important component of a digital marketing strategy. And especially when you add in all the abilities to target and segment your audience and really increase your reach within that target, you know, we're having phenomenal success with LinkedIn advertising. So this is an episode that if you're not familiar with LinkedIn advertising, or you're thinking about doing it at your firm, I highly recommend you listen to this episode. And of course, if after listening to the episode you have any questions or would like to talk to us, please email us or get in touch.
All right, so we're going to wrap up with one of our favorite people, Yolanda. And we've known Yolanda for a long time. I know you've known Yolanda for a very long time. That's Yolanda Cartusiello.
Cartusiello.
And we're talking about the client journey.
Yeah, so I know this is something...
This is, by the way, guys, this is episode 5, in case
anyone... Episode 5.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
When we were getting ready to record this episode, Yolanda and I were getting ready to speak at the LexisNexis annual conference, and we did a presentation on client journey mapping. And, you know, she has spoken about this and continues to speak about this at the LMA annual conference and many different other presentations. If you don't know anything about mapping the law firm client journey, definitely listen to this episode. This is all about going back to, you know, what we talked about with John Simpson earlier. It's all about the client experience and how you can make that journey for your, once they become clients, really make it successful and make it something that the client is really going to appreciate from an overall experience. And the process that Yolanda puts together is really helpful for law firms to figure out so that they can give their clients this great experience.
Right, right. Guy, this has been an amazing trip down memory lane. We can say that now, right? A year later into it. And I know we talked about going forward, we're going to have some great guests. We have some really wonderful guests lined up. And we're also going to listen to you. And so please give us feedback, right, on all of these episodes, on this episode, on what you'd like to hear from us, on who you'd like to hear from on this podcast. And guy@gettobesocial.com, email us anytime, and we will get back to you, and we will get those guests on our podcast. I'm really looking forward to the next year.
Thanks, Tim, and I want to personally thank you for putting us in the podcast road and for all your hard work. It's been a real pleasure with you. And
it's been awesome.
Looking forward to the future.
Yes, absolutely.
All righty. Thank you, everyone.
If you like this episode, please subscribe to our podcast. And we'd love it if you also left a review for us on Apple Podcasts. We're also on Stitcher and SoundCloud and Google Play and wherever you listen to podcasts. Before you go, I want to ask you a question. Do you struggle with digital marketing and how to make it work for you and for your firm? If so, please go to lawfirmmarketinghelp.com and sign up for a free digital audit. The audit will provide you with all of the information you need to build a blueprint for your digital marketing strategy to produce the results you want. You'll find the show notes for this episode, along with all of the Legal Marketing 2.0 episodes, at goodtobesocial.com. Thanks for listening. Until next time.